Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
Record-breaking heat waves in the United States and China. Wildfires ravaging North America and Southern Europe. A fifth year of drought in the Horn of Africa. Tragic, tragic flooding in Libya. My heart goes out to the people of Libya that's killed thousands, thousands of people. Together, these snapshots tell an urgent story of what awaits us if we fail to reduce our dependence on fossil fuels and begin to climate-proof the world.
Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, unfortunately.
That's part of the president's, his UN address. He addressed the United Nations today for some reason. You guys know how I feel about that. We had a nice little conversation yesterday. And I don't understand how you climate-proof the world. I mean, are you talking about getting rid of the weather? Because then that makes you the threat, not any kind of weather event. Welcome to the show. It's another day in hell with this administration. I know. Dana Lash here with you, top of this first hour. So I'm not really going to go over the United Nations because I don't care. I don't give a rat's backside. I would rather jump off my roof and break my legs off to nubbins than to spend. You can't pay me enough to spend any part of the show that I just did talking about the UN, because I think it's a ridiculous organization of people who like to get together and pretend that they're doing things and they're not, and they're on prime real estate. You know how valuable that land is? You know how valuable that land is? It's some valuable land right there. Sometimes I have to drive by it. When I stay in Manhattan, I'm always in Midtown. And on my way to the airport, I end up having to go by where the UN is. And I'm just like, my gosh, you know, it's like billions of dollars probably. It's like multiple blocks. I don't know why that fascinates me so much, but it does. All right, so I don't care. He gave a ridiculous, stupid speech to the UN, blah, blah, blah. And I know that the point or part of his point was he wants to try to convince people something Ukraine. I'm also tired of talking about Ukraine. It's a land dispute. It is. And let's just say a whole bunch of unpopular stuff today. One, two. It's a land dispute. Disco sucks. Kale is overrated. What else? What else can we get into? Huh? What else? I've got opinions. I've got a lot of opinions. So I'm just saying. And then the Russell Brand thing. We got to talk about that because he got canceled a whole bunch of places already. So anyway, I got some more clips from the Joe Biden speech that I'll play if I feel like it later, because I just don't care. And I don't think you either. He said he did his old man speech. And then talked about the climate, and that's kind of pretty much it. Got it? All right, we're good. All right, can we move on? Because people are canceling Russell Brand. He got demonetized on YouTube, and he's being called a predator, and there's all these accusations, and there are people, women who said that he's a predator, that he's sexually aggressive. I said yesterday that he reminds me of a skeezy Dudley Moore. You guys know who Dudley Moore is? You know who Dudley Moore is. I don't know what he was in. I just know who he was. He had the same haircut that Ronnie Wood does from the Rolling Stones, didn't he?
Yeah.
So he did. That's like, what is with that? That's like the Karen cut, the John plus eight, or John and Kate plus eight cut for men. That's the men's John and Kate plus eight cut. So he had the Ronnie Wood cut from Rolling Stone. He's like a skeezy Dudley Moore. Anyway, that's kind of his whole persona. I never really actually thought he was funny. I just thought he was kind of, I don't know. But that's irrelevant because he's being accused, and all you have to do is be accused in our social media environment, and then you're convicted in the court of public opinion. And as you know, the court of public opinion is the jurors in the court of public opinion are the biggest morons in the world. They're always the stupidest people who are always the most eager and the quickest to pass judgment. And so some have said, you know, they always knew he was sexually aggressive, and he always said that everything he had was consensual. I just think you kind of know who he is. And also, he might be tall, but he's skinny. I'm pretty sure I could kick his ass. I think I could. It wouldn't be like pulling by, just kick him in the jimmies and then hit him in the neck. I mean, that's like all you got to do. But that's like his whole persona. So anyway, he was dropped by his management company last night. This headline came in the middle of the night. YouTube demonetized him because he's being accused of being a predator. But they're just allegations. All it is just they're only allegations. Nothing so far has been substantiated by any kind of evidence. It's like Me Too 2.0 all over again. And I said on social media, I said, you know, very conveniently, this happened after he started to espouse wrong think. Do you know, Kane, you're going to enjoy this one particularly. So one of the headlines that I saw this morning said that he knew that these accusations were coming. And so he decided long ago to cultivate, to groom, as it were, to cultivate this whole online squad to defend him when these accusations finally came forth. That's the newest line of attack.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So premeditated protection?
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Got it.
I know. They're trying to say that as a defense for he spoke wrong think. But I mean, think about it. You kind of knew he was always skeezy. I mean, he never lied about being skeezy, right? Sure. They had this video clip that was making the rounds yesterday of him on a talk show with Catherine McPhee. I don't really know who she is. And I guess she's like some singer.
Yeah, she was on American Idol, I think.
I never watched that. You know why? Because I like good television.
She was on a TV show.
Actually, I hate television and I hate crap programming, so I never watched that.
Got you.
Hate it to death.
Well, she did a separate TV show as well.
Oh, good for her.
An actress.
But I have to say, like, she seemed very common sense. She seemed very sensible because they were trying to use her as their straw man for all of this. Oh, look how uncomfortable she looked. She was on with him and he grabbed her and he was going to have her sit on his lap. And she was like, you guys are making so much out of this. She's like, it wasn't that at all. It's weird because it's like everybody knows that was his whole persona. His whole persona was that he was a man whore. And it was kind of funny because he was so skeezy and he just didn't care. It's not like something you want to emulate. It's just it almost seemed like a caricature of an aspect of human culture. And now it's being put up like, oh my gosh, he's like the newest Harvey Weinstein. And it feels like a feeding frenzy. And I do get the impression that there are a lot of people rushing to take a bite out of him that are doing so because they think it's going to translate into 15 minutes of fame. Doesn't it seem like that? Like he's having his life canceled based on allegations. And I've told you how I feel about that. I think if women falsely accuse a man, I think that they should be dragged tenfold. Oh, yeah. I think their punishment, their penalty should be tenfold. Those are bitches that falsely accuse dudes. And I, you know what? I actually volunteer to take care of the penalty for you. Like, just put me in a cage with them because I'm so tired of this stuff. I think I think women who engage in that false accusation behavior, they set women back. They actually do a disservice to women. It's an insult to femaledom. But this is all, it's all allegation. It's all allegation. There's nothing. This is sort of, my friend Carol Roth remarked that this was kind of like the Chinese social credit score stuff. That this is what it's like. It's Chinese social credit score. You don't really need to have any kind of evidence. You don't really need to be convicted. You just have to be accused of any kind of wrongdoing. And I just also think, and Kane makes this point, that if there was something that was really here, why are it's only all coming out now? Number one, it didn't come out during Me Too. It didn't come out during the Weinstein era when everybody was they were going after everybody. That seems like that's the time that that would have that you would have started all of that. And they didn't go to law enforcement. You go to the court of public opinion and instead of going to law enforcement. I mean, if a guy had done something to me and I felt like it, you know, it crossed the line and it was legally actionable. Oh, my gosh, I would have made his life a living hell. Right. I would have taken it to authorities. I would have gone to court of public opinion and tried to get media attention for myself. I'm not saying that every person in this situation is doing it, but I'm telling you, it just seems really weird to me that as soon as he started saying wrong think, then all of a sudden these accusations started to fly. I don't even care if he's your cup of tea or not. I mean, at one point, I think it almost seems like we're getting to this Rubicon of every man is going to be accused at one point in their life simply just because they were a man. They're a man, not because they engaged in any kind of behavior, but it almost seems like at some point every man will have been accused of some impropriety, mostly falsely by women just because they're men. I feel like we're getting to that point. Does it feel like we're getting to that point? This is the militant matriarchy. That's what this is. Oh, if he gets out of line, they're going to pounce with this kind of information. I don't know. I also think too, can I just be real? I roll my eyes when chicks say that somebody makes a sexual comment towards them. Maybe it's because I'm just a different kind of person. I am very aggressive. And if a dude, and I've been in situations, political and otherwise, where, you know, a guy thought that even as a grown married woman, someone thought they would be able to say something sly to me. I will literally, absolutely turn you into a verbal. I will verbally eunuch you. It just doesn't happen. Doesn't happen like that. I can't remember. I was at some kind of dinner at one point, and it was a bipartisan thing. It was like some awards thing, and I didn't want to go because I hate these stupid things. There was someone at the table who had like made a comment. I can't even remember. And before I even said anything, I just ruined the man's life at the table and in front of everybody. I just didn't give a rat's backside. And I just, you know, and my husband is more than equipped to handle things, but he also realizes that sometimes the meanest person in the room can be the woman. And as Kane knows, so I don't know, maybe I just look at it differently than that. Like I always look at it like, you know, you get to choose the energy that I have. So how are we going to act today? Right. How are we going to act today? That's kind of how I look at it. We got a lot to hit. And in addition to this, we have this ongoing stuff, like I said, with the United Nations. We got some stuff in Congress. I wrote this piece last night and came out with it. It published this morning. It is about it was a deeper dive into the abortion comments that Trump made, because it is really, it's blowing up. And I expanded on this. We're going to talk a little bit about it because we got to get over these hurdles. This is turning into a major problem for Republicans. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of the show, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you're getting the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, military veterans, and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT and get free activation when you use offer code Dana. Join me and make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So a St. Louis restaurant called Social Bar and Grill is stupidly accused of racism because of their long list of basic rules that include no hoodies, saggy pants, or sleeveless tank tops on men. It's in Soulard, literally right where I used to live in downtown St. Louis. They enacted the new dining rules and dress code earlier this month, and all these people went on Reddit to bitch and moan because they're total loser betas, and they apparently don't know how to dress when they exit their house. If you cannot cover your A-double snakes when you go into a restaurant, if you can't wear a shirt with sleeves, or if you can't not dress like a basic bitch, then maybe don't go out to eat. Maybe stay at home in your hobbit hole and shave your back.
It's like their dress code's better than the Senate.
I'm coming back to this, right? Because this is—it's like, is this John Fetterman that's mad over all of this? So stupid. This is so stupid. Shut up. This is why we can't have nice things, because of loser morons. Can you tell that I've had a day? It's not even like noon. All right. So, Clorox, man, I'm going to tell you something. Dana's always prepared. Always prepared. I went and I literally was going to take a picture of what was in my prepper pantry. And then pat myself on the back, but I thought it was, you know, maybe obnoxiously bragging. Clorox says that last month's cyber attack is disrupting their production. As a result, the company, I didn't even know they had one. The company is scaling back their order processing, so fewer products are actually making their way onto store shelves. So they're not going to have a lot of Clorox. And again, Dana doesn't have that problem. I have like a whole Clorox sectione. I do. So they said they ended their that cyber attack on August 14th, but they said their systems were breached and there were all kinds of problems. And so I don't have to worry about that. U.S. national debt hits $33 trillion for the first time in history. Meanwhile, you have the moderate Republicans in the House that are trying to push for a CR, while the fiscally responsible Republicans in the House are saying, no, we're tired of kicking the can down the road. We need to solve this issue, and we need people who are serious about solving it with us. So it's a dangerous new milestone, $33 trillion. And this is what we owe our creditors. $33.04 trillion. It's growing. It's growing. I mean, it was hovering around $907 billion just 40 years ago. And now we're, I will say that the pandemic, you know, and stupidly shutting down the most powerful economy in the world contributed to that. But here we are. Also, I am really into this. I'm really into this headline. 2,000 rhinos free to good homes that have space. Dude, right? I mean, I know they're kind of jerks sometimes, but I mean, so who isn't? A herd of 2,000 rhinoceroses. Urgently in need of a new owner. They found one. They've been at a farm in South Africa. They were purchased by a conservation group. They're planning to release them into the wild. It's the southern white rhino. It's the largest population of their kind. They were put up for auction in April, starting price of $10 million. Nobody came forward. Then they're like, okay, we'll give them out. I would have totally taken a rhino. I don't know how many I can put on, you know, what acreage you need, but I would have taken it. Yeah, stay with us.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle Ready-to-Drink Coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Gas prices have never been this high at this time of the year, ever. With the fall season approaching, diesel prices are expected to go up for farmers, which in turn causes your grocery bill to skyrocket. With no strategic petroleum reserve to tap into, is there ever an end in sight? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Simply put, the 21st century results are badly needed. They're needed to move us along. That starts with the United Nations. Starts right here.
Man, What he just said is the verbal equivalent of how John Fetterman dresses. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you, bottom of this first hour. And make sure you can stream the radio program. You can listen to the radio program terrestrially, and you can also stream the radio show on a station near you. You can watch the simulcast, Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook. We had to play. I told you I had some clips. So he didn't really say anything substantial, I don't think, right? I don't think he like said anything great at this in his speech. But I really don't know what the point of his speech was, if I'm being honest. Like, for instance, can I just touch audio soundbite 19? I don't even know what this was. What is this? What?
These do not have the potential stifled by systemic discrimination that the LGBTQI plus people are not prosecuted or targeted with violence because of who they are. These rights are part of our shared humanity. They're absent. When they're absent anywhere, their loss is felt everywhere.
Kamala wrote that, didn't she?
Yeah.
When they're absent everywhere, their loss is felt everywhere that they're absent. Because they're absent, so there's the loss of them is there because they're absent. It's like you're trying to get a paper done and meet the word count. Same energy. I don't even know what that was, y'all. Don't even know. But he's there at the United Nations. And then a bunch of other people I don't care about covering are going to be there at the United Nations as well. Nobody cares. It's where all those world leaders get together and they pretend that the tyrants that they are on security councils, etc. with aren't actual tyrants. All right. I got to come back to this. And we're bouncing all over between some of the politics and also between some of the culture. Because I can't stay talking about, I can't stay talking to the president and the United Nations this, you know, whole entire time. So I wanted to hit this piece that I came out with this morning. It's over at Substack. It's what Trump gets wrong about the abortion stuff, right? The abortion limitation law. And we talked a little bit about this yesterday because, you know, he did this Meet the Press interview and he was asked this question that he didn't answer very well. He was asked, you know, if Democrats, you know, or if Congress got to your desk a bill that would limit abortion at 15 weeks, would you sign it? And he went all over the place and he was like, I don't know. And then he went to DeSantis and he was mad about that. And said that he thought it was, in fact, his direct quote was that it was the heartbeat bill there. Quote, I think what he did is a terrible thing and a terrible mistake. So here's the thing. In order, I think, for the pro-life movement to be victorious, they have to be free to restrict or to ban abortion as birth control. I mean, we're there right now. You have 24 states that have moved to ban or restrict or are on the path to do so. Now, obviously, that was only obtained post-Roe. That was the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health case. And the Dobbs case undid the Roe argument that a woman's private decision to have an abortion was enshrined somewhere in the Constitution. Now, the justification that the pro-abortion group has used for a while, that's like shape-shifted throughout the years. And it's always kind of come back to this right to privacy argument, which is completely illogical and not even Ruth Bader Ginsburg agreed with it. She thought it was wrongly determined and that it was just a shoddy judicial move. Now, that the states have reassumed the authority on abortion restrictions, I think is a greater measure of victory towards protecting life than the 15-week bans that you see proposed by these empty-headed politicians who are unaware that a 15-week national ban would likely override the six states that have already passed six-week bans. Now, this all presumes that you would even get a 15-week ban passed in Congress. So do people actually think that Democrats would compromise on a 15-week ban, but yet still then allow states by themselves to further restrict or abolish the practice? I mean, so you would have Republican lawmakers then without that guarantee. They would actually walk back state victories from 6 weeks to 15 weeks, because that, I promise you, will happen. So I understand the arguments that people make where they say that settling on the 15-week restrictions for abortion as birth control, like just going defaulting to that is as a refuge from any kind of debate, is a coward's compromise on life. And I think that they make a good point there, because you either believe in the sanctity of life or you don't. I also understand, though, the argument made from the pro-life legal eagles, because they argue that the 14th Amendment specifically states all persons born or naturalized in the United States. Thus, any sort of sweeping national effort that you would, if you would undertake any kind of national effort to modify the amendment with wording, you would have to have it do so to recognize the unborn life as the unborn life of an American citizen. You would have to modify the language to include that recognition. Now, I don't disagree with their claim on the language in the 14th Amendment, but here's my question and concern. How would amending the 14th Amendment work with today's Democrats? How would that turn out for conservatives? Two-thirds of Congress? Ratification of three-fourths of state legislatures? Or does anyone actually trust Democrats with a constitutional convention? You know, the likes of which hasn't been held since the founders called one in 1787. You know, where the convention could literally write its own rules. And very likely, not just potentially, but very likely be influenced by special interests. That people think that calling a constitutional convention is safer today or somehow more easily managed than the current legislative process that we now know, that absolutely bewilders me. Because I do not possess the suspension of disbelief that is required to buy into that argument. I don't. Now, I will say states are currently on track to do more in the name of life than any lawmaker could ever hope to deliver nationally, which brings us to that Meet the Press interview. So he's asked whether or not Trump was asked whether or not he'd sign a 15-week ban on abortion if Congress passed it. Now, of course, he was asked this because Democrats want to use abortion as this get out the vote tactic, just like they did with 2022. And a lot of Republican candidates are terrified to answer this question because they know it's a trap and they are hesitant to make themselves some sort of poster child for Democrat scare tactics. I get it. But there are multiple ways to answer this, and Trump should have known better and done better, and he did not. He went rhetorically searching for some kind of deflection, and then it came off as unprepared and weak. Now, three ways you could answer this. First one, you could say, well, if you mean lawmakers elected by the people, if they deliver to me a bill restricting abortion as birth control after 15 weeks, the time period on which the majority of Americans, Democrats and Republicans have found consensus after years of polling, well, then yes. Now, as discussed, I don't necessarily think that that's the best path. I think it's maybe better than just outright blasting fetal heartbeat bills. He could have also said, well, if lawmakers elected by the people to represent their interests deliver to me a bill that includes the freedom for states to determine their own restrictions or outright abolition, then yes. Here's the problem, though. When you start doing, well, we'll do a 15-week nationally and then states are free to do more, you're risking making the debate on limitations look like a petty numbers game. Okay, so 15 weeks, why not 14, 13? You have to realize how that potentially pits momentum against pro-life abolitionists. Now, he could have said, quote, no, because I support the right of states to go further with their restrictions, such as a six-week ban, than Congress would ever allow. Now, that's the best answer. But Trump can't say that. He can't say that because it would inadvertently give credit to DeSantis. So he didn't want to do that. No governor from any state that's passed any of these limitations has said that their way is the pathway for any kind of national approach. Everybody has indicated that what works specifically in their state doesn't necessarily translate nationally. Trump didn't speak to that, though. He specifically called the Florida heartbeat bill terrible. Again, quote, I think what DeSantis did is terrible and it's a terrible mistake. He's trying to play to independents during a primary, which is stupid. It's way too early for that. I don't know who's telling him to do that. He didn't do this that early last time in 2016. Pro-choice voters are never going to back him either. Because they just never will. They'll always go with a Democrat. Pro-life voters will feel betrayed. And don't think for a second that independents are somehow too disillusioned to see, or that they're not disillusioned and they don't see that he looks like he's switching it up to grab for votes. And a lot of people like me are questioning his political acumen in doing this. I mean, why weaponize yourself for the left to use you against pro-life opponents? I mean, this is the guy who was in office when Roe was undone. I mean, this is part of his legacy. Do you know how many politicians would give a limb to define their legacy with something so historical? But he's like sprinting away from it to run to the left of the Republican platform. I mean, I know that personally, he's never been very pro-life, but he's always been motivated by positive affirmation. So the accolades that he received from the community that he lip serviced on these pro-life issues, it made the arrangement work and it did a lot for pro-life. But now he said he would compromise with a deal that makes everybody happy. Verbatim, quote, "I would sit down with both sides. I'd negotiate something. We'll end up with peace on the issue for the first time in 52 years. Just let me tell you what I do. I'm going to come together with all groups and we're going to have something that's acceptable," end quote. Except that's not how abortion politics work. I mean, is he banking on support of his candidacy outweighing support for what many voters view as a wedge issue? Or life issues not being a driver in primary politics? Now we have this issue.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Marjorie Taylor Greene said that Senate no longer enforcing a dress code for senators is to appease Fetterman is disgraceful. Dress code is one of society's standards that set etiquette and respect for institutions. Stop lowering the bar. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, her platform, you know, really, she runs on more and more ding-a-ling, you know, picks, you know, on in the meetings over in the Congress. So, I'm not really sure why she cares how I dress, but, you know, she really takes it a different way.
I need to know why he has that hair on his lip. What is up with that? Maybe if we have this stash, they won't know that I dress like a slob. He couldn't get into that social bar there in Soulard, no. In St. Louis. He couldn't get in there. He dresses like a slob. So he says her platform runs on, just here's verbatim. Kane, correct me if this is wrong.
All right.
That Marjorie Taylor Greene's platform runs on more and more ding-a-ling in the meetings.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he said, yeah.
Is it like a new rare earth element?
Ding-a-ling picks.
What is a ding-a-ling pick?
I don't know, but it's probably not something we should be talking about.
I feel like he talks a lot about ding-a-ling. For a guy with that kind of a stash. Talks an awful lot about it. I'm saying what you all are thinking. Stop it. I'm the one who says it. You know, it's true, though. You know it, right? I don't know what is happening here. You know something else? Can I just be real? I got a question. What kind of wife are you to let your husband go out looking like that? Right? Men do not like to clothes shop. Therefore, most dudes. Or if they do, it's very limited. They want to go into the store and they want to purchase the thing that they have in their mind or the thing that they saw and they want to get out. Therefore, it falls upon the woman to make sure that he is dressed properly and not walking out in a wrinkled shirt that looks like he stole it from a garage and cargo shorts. I mean, that's a Crocs outfit, okay? That's what that is. You know him, right? Yeah. I mean, he's you, especially if he's going to the Senate. Man, you know what I'm talking about. I hear you all. The butterfly effect just happened. I felt a breeze because everybody was nodding their heads in agreement. You know that I'm correct on this. It is. I mean, there's no way. There's times where I've told my husband, you're not walking out of the house looking like that. We're not doing that. It's not. We're going to switch it up. Or I'll trick him into going and getting clothes. I trick him all the time. Well, now I can't because he knows all my tricks now. But I have to trick him into going and getting because he hates it. He hates it. He's like the shorts guy, and he'll wear jeans and boots if it gets below 50 degrees. But he's like the guy who can wear shorts when it's, 60 and chilly outside. I can't live like that. But you guys know what I'm talking about. Why is he? I mean, why are you? Don't know. Care about your man. Make sure that he dresses nice when he goes out. I mean, my goodness. Come on. He makes sure your car's running top shape, doesn't he? Make sure he looks nice when he leaves the house. Come on. You know, it's a give and take here. No, it's not ignorant. Women should enjoy this job. I don't know. But that mustache, man. I'd shave that off his lip in his sleep. And then I'd be like, I don't know, maybe you rubbed it off while you were sleeping. I don't know what happened. It just is not on your lip anymore. Thank heavens. Because it's weird looking. All right, we have more in store here. On the way, the big old budget fight, House Republicans. Oh, they're still at it because we're at 12 days now when government shuts down. I really hope it shuts down. I hope they bring back the barricades and put barricades in front of the parks and all that again. Sorry, guys. The trees are closed today. We're going to get into all of that. We have cancel culture. We have law and order. Immigration. I don't know if you guys seen some of the video on the latest numbers. Hoo boy. Thousands of people. Bill Melugin says in the past 24 hours, over 8,000 illegal immigrants entered. That doesn't include the gotaways. We're going to talk about that and more next. Stay with us.
I can tell you that early this morning in Eagle Pass, we witnessed one of the largest mass illegal crossings we have ever seen in the last 2.5 years of covering our southern border. We'll get right to this video. Take a look at this stunning footage. Border Patrol sources telling us just after midnight, about 2,500 migrants crossed illegally into Eagle Pass. You can see this lengthy line of them stretching from shore to shore in the river. This video perspective coming from the Mexican side of the river in Piedras Negras. One of our contacts over there shooting this video as they essentially bum rushed Eagle Pass last night. And this happened right next to the port of entry where the Biden administration is telling people to cross legally. They don't care. They're crossing illegally because there are little to no fear of consequences. Take a look at this second perspective, this second piece of video showing
a concert. I mean, look how secure that border is, Kane. Look at that secure border. So if you're watching the simulcast, Juan's got the video up there. I mean, thousands of people coming right through that secure border. Thousands of them. That's in one night. One night. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour, Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast. Aerial shot there if you're watching the simulcast, which you can see on Channel 347 DirecTV, YouTube. Always good discussion there. Facebook as well. That was the next morning. They were lining them up and grouping them up and putting them on buses. The Biden administration wants to keep them in Texas as a way to punish Texas. And that's just at Eagle Pass. That's just one of the many hotspots. In fact, some of the numbers that I see that they have been, I think what, in the last 24 hours, this is Customs and Border Patrol. And on the simulcast, Bill Melugin, they had a drone out. They got to send a drone out. They get footage of all these people and trains, train cars, all this stuff coming over. They said that per Customs and Border Patrol, in the last 24 hours, Border Patrol apprehended over 8,000 illegal immigrants crossing in the last 24 hours. Now, wait, when you combine that with all the CBP ports of entry, there were a staggering 9,700 encounters across the border in one day. I'm going to say it again. 9,700 plus, over that actually, illegal immigrant encounters across the border in one single day. It is the second highest day on record. The highest day on record, according to Customs and Border Patrol, was 10,000 plus. That was in May, right before Title 42 ended. Well, I mean, it sounds like the situation at the border is all handled there.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's all secure, Kane. Yeah. Nothing to see there. Just, you know, no worries.
Yeah.
It's all secure.
If we're to believe Alejandro Mayorkas, then yeah.
Well, Kane, he is in government. I mean, like, why would he lie? You know, he's just like realizing stuff. It's never going to get old. I mean, that's an insane amount of people. Oh my gosh. That's insane. That's, I mean, in one day, 9,000, over 9,700. Have you guys seen that? So I was talking about that Italian island. This was in Lampedusa. It's a small island off the coast of Italy. And, you know, not a very big island. It's beautiful, you know, very, very pretty. And this island, it's right in between. It's in Italy, but it's right in between like Malta and Tunisia. So it's like south of Sicily, but it's like underneath Malta. So it's right smack in the middle between North Africa and Sicily, right? And then Malta is like right between Sicily and then this island, Lampedusa. So this is even crazier. So this island, so 6,000 residents, okay? So this small island has 6,000 residents. In 3 days, literally 3 days, they counted over 10,000 illegal aliens that arrived on the shores of that island.
10,000?
In 3 days. They said that one day, 7,000 arrived in one day. 99% of them are young men. If you are fleeing conflict, if you are fleeing famine, and you are seeking asylum, do you leave your family behind?
No.
I mean, do you leave, if you're a man, do you leave your wife and children behind? If anything, what we've seen throughout history is that when there is legitimate war and famine, the people who flee are always the women and children. And then the men stay behind and either fight or, you know, try to, you know, get things situated, something. It's always the way. I mean, when you look at, I remember in the, I guess what, late 80s, early 90s. And this is about the time that Nat Geo cover came out, that one Afghan girl, she had the piercing ice blue eyes. She's Pashtun, in northern Afghanistan. And they were talking about how they were fleeing different tribal fighting. And there was this, I remember watching this documentary on the people who were fleeing the tribal infighting. And they went into this refugee area, thousands of people, and they were all women and children. Like, all of them were women and children. The only men that were there were like the men who were dispatched by neighboring countries to help with the crisis, the flood of refugees coming across the borders. That was it. Like, all of the men were either fighting or they were trying to, like, dealing with livestock or something, trying to just basically, you know, keep whatever the family had, you know, to make money and try to, you know, save some of it or preserve it, something. But it was, long story short, it was all women and children. And that's where that one Nat Geo cover, that's where that guy found, that photographer found, she was the Afghan girl. It was in the 90s, like late 80s, early 90s when that cover came out. My biology teacher actually had it taped on the chalkboard. Because it was she had ice blue eyes. She was Pashtun. She was in a refugee camp. And all of the people in that camp were women and children. When you look at the people who are claiming asylum, like in Lampedusa, 10,000, they're all men. I mean, there's video of it. They had video of like thousands of military age men. They're all young men. There's not a woman in sight. And they're showing up on the shores of this small island. So Giorgio Meloni, who is the Italian prime minister, everyone's been asking, well, what is the response that Italy's had? Because they called her far right. She's basically kind of, you know, conservative. She's wanting to set up a naval blockade. That's what it looks like they might do, is set up a naval blockade. They said since January, 125,000 migrants have invaded Italy. Illegal aliens have invaded Italy with only one. They said only 1,000 moving on to other EU states. The European Union has this policy of just, oh, if they come, you have to take them. But the countries that are bearing the burden are Italy. Italy is getting hit. Greece, I will say also, but specifically Italy. And so here's the funny thing. So they're demanding, the EU is demanding, you know, oh, you have to accept these people that come in. Italy's bearing the brunt of it. So the EU, after Meloni and other lawmakers in Italy have been complaining, the EU is like, okay, well, we'll try to get other people, other countries to accept them. But the French interior minister said France wasn't going to take any of them. They said, no, France isn't going to take any of them. Because the EU invoked what they call their voluntary solidarity mechanism. They said you have to immediately look at asylum applications. France said no. Germany's still taking them. They had suspended it, but now they're taking them again. So it increases. So in the past couple of years, it's doubled every year, the number of these illegal aliens that are coming in. It's doubled every year. So it was like, you know, around, you know, 25,000 one year, and then it doubles to like 50. Now it's like, I think they said since, like right now it's been over 126,000. And since June of last year, only 1,100 of them have been relocated from Italy to other EU countries. I mean, and most of them are coming from Guinea, the Ivory Coast, Senegal, and some others. And they said that a lot of them, the majority of them are not eligible for asylum in Europe. This is insane. I mean, there has to be a serious self-loathing in one's country to disregard one's borders and one's sovereign responsibility to its citizens. And that's what it is. And it comes from within. You're like, you're attacked, and it's like people try to emotionally blackmail you if you don't just accept whatever lawlessness happens over the border. That's the thing. No one has ever been opposed to immigration. I don't think anyone in any country has been. But what everybody uniquely is on the same page and opposing are people coming into the country illegally. You don't know who's coming in your country. You don't know where they come from. You really don't even know how many people they're bringing in with them. And especially when you look at these border towns and that, these border towns are not equipped to handle the influx, to handle the numbers. And now you have the administration telling them that they have to stay in Texas, that Texas, like Italy is doing, has to bear the brunt of this. Sweden actually, after they started having a lot of terrorist problems, they started refusing the relocation of a lot of people who have been immigrating illegally to these EU nations. Angela Merkel never learned a lesson, and I don't think Germany did either. It's actually very dangerous in parts of Germany. It's not like the way that it used to be. I was talking to some of my friends. I have a friend that lives in Belgium, and they travel all over. Like, that's their big thing, like every summer and during the time between Christmas and New Year's. That's what they do. They travel everywhere, and they're like, you can't travel in and around Germany like you used to. It's not the same. You can't travel in and around France like you used to. It's not the same. Especially if you're a woman, it's very different because you have a lot of younger men. They're very aggressive. I've seen that. I mean, if you look at a lot of the travel guides also will, you know, indicate this too in certain parts of the country. Sweden, they had like a bombing problem. I mean, they had like terrorist problems. It's crazy. And then they finally realized, okay, well, we got to shut our doors here. We can't be doing this. You're getting men. This has nothing to do with bigotry or anything else. You have to stop at some point and say, why is it all young men specifically? No old men. There, if you look at any of the videos, any of the photos, any of the images, and not just from coming across, you know, the southern border here in the United States, but in Italy as well, not a single person is an old dude. And there is not a single female or child in the group. This is surrender. And I mean, it is not wrong to say it looks like an invasion. That's what it looks like. It's crazy. And meanwhile, in the meantime, crime is skyrocketing. This is a problem with Western culture. We're going to talk more about this.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Matt Gaetz is expected to run for Florida governor. I don't think he'll win. That's a whole other subject. A missing F-35 fighter jet was found crashed in Williamsburg County, South Carolina. Remember, that was the big, giant, multi-million-dollar stealth jet that we just straight up lost. And we had no idea what happened. The pilot ejected, and I don't know what. But officials found the debris from it after the pilot ejected it. And then, of course, U.S. officials ordered a two-day safety stand down for all United States Marine Corps aviation. That's kind of normal, although this whole thing is very unusual considering it was a multi-million-dollar stealth jet that was lost. But to have a safety stand down after mishaps, that's pretty normal. There was a lot of speculation over that. But this jet, they said it was, they don't know what caused the crash. They have no idea. The guy ejected. I don't know if it was short on food. Nobody knows. Nobody. It's so weird. But anyway, just, you know, there's the latest with that. It's just odd. Elon Musk is flirting with the idea of charging everyone for Twitter, like a lower tier under premium. He's revisiting this idea to have everyone pay to use Twitter, he says, is like the only way to take care of the bot problem. Although also, you know, just verifying people, I think, would be a lot easier than just making everybody pay for it. You know what I mean? It seems like that would be the thing that's, you know, I don't know, that would be the easiest thing to do. I'm full of solutions. There's an even bigger housing crisis threatening China's economy. I mean, what doesn't threaten China's economy? Mostly it's the communists that threaten their economy. We have a lot more in store. Keep it right here.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
Under the new president of the World Bank, change is already taking root. Last month, I asked the United States Congress for additional funds to expand World Bank financing by $25 billion. And the G20, we rallied the major economies of the world to mobilize even more funding. Collectively, we can deliver a transformational boost to World Bank lending.
Why? Why would we want to? Why would we want to do that? That's Joe Biden at the UN. I didn't understand what the hell he was saying at first. Actually, I don't think I do. What was he saying? It's like he's eating Cory cereal from SNL. Welcome back, Dana Lash with you. Bottom of the second hour. Why would we want to? Why? He just gets. What is it even for? Is it Ukraine stuff? I'm pretending to care. It's more of the United States doing stuff the United States shouldn't be doing. Came. Mm-hmm. No, you act like you were going to say something. Well, yeah, yeah.
I mean, the world is abandoning the petrodollar as we speak, and we're just like, okay, world, let's give you some of our dollars then. It makes no sense to me.
I'm pretty petty about stuff like that. Like, oh, you want to get away from the petrodollar? Then maybe you want to use some of the yuan to finance your stuff with Ukraine then. That's kind of how I look at it. Oh, you don't want our dollars? Then maybe you should go and use some of your EU money to go and finance all the stuff that you want financed, if that's how you want to do it. That's just me, though. You know, you may think differently, but that's kind of how I look at it. Oh, guess who they just charged? Guess who they charged today? His name rhymes with Schmay Peps. You remember that guy?
Fed boy?
Yeah. Sidebar. The Fed Boys. It's like In Sync, but they're old dudes and they're led by Ray Epps. Right? Oh, oh, oh. Just saying. So I don't know. Like Lorraine was saying that, oh, you know, what a great way to make it seem like you're not a Fed boy than by giving somebody this one little misdemeanor charge. Oh, he's not a Fed boy because he got this little tiny little misdemeanor charge. It was disorderly or disruptive conduct on restricted grounds. One little bitsy baby post. Little baby charge. Little bitty charge. That's it. Didn't a dude get like 6 years for not being there? How dare you not be here at this riot? You get charged. Everybody gets charges. Everyone's charged. Just saying. It does seem like it's shenanigans. It does. So he's charged with, well, they say rioting, but it's really disorderly or disruptive conduct on restricted grounds. One misdemeanor count. I mean, he's literally on video going, go, go, go. And isn't he suing everybody for, what is he suing? For defamation? I mean, dude, he's like legit. He apparently said, oh, I thought I could calm the crowds. It's really weird to calm the crowds by like getting them going. Yeah, like go in. Woo! I mean, it's just I've never seen anybody try to calm the crowds by riling them up like that. But maybe it's like screwing for chastity. I don't know. Maybe it's like that kind of approach. Fighting fire with fire. Just it's a great way to get more fire. So that's it. He gets one little charge. I think that I agree. I think it's so that they can shut up all of the seems like a Fed boy remarks, doesn't it? I mean, dude, he looks like a Fed. Can I just be real? I haven't really talked a lot about it because I think it's all Victorian freak show sham. But that dude straight up looks like a Fed. If you were playing Where's the Fed a la Where's Waldo, he'd be the first dude I'd pick out. That guy right there. That's him, right? Where's the Fed boy? But I do think, sidebar, I do think that would be a very good Kane. It would be a 90s tribute band of actual Fed boys that are old like this. And they would do like 90s boy band hits, just the covers. Oh, 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 like that.
It is noted.
Yeah.
And on my list.
Can you imagine how awkward the choreography would be? The right stuff, right? So he gets one misdemeanor. He was there with a battle bag and everything, man. I've seen the videos. I've watched the videos. How is it that dudes who weren't even there get charged and get like 7 years, and this guy gets a little misdemeanor charge, and he was there? I don't know. It's just weird. Just saying. You know, the worst thing that's ever happened, Kane, in history. Worst terror attack ever.
Sorry. Yeah. Worse than
9/11. It's like, I mean, then Pearl Harbor. I mean, you know, crazy.
Civil War.
Oh, man. So he's charged. He's going to enter a plea agreement. He said that the conspiracy theories about him ruined his life. Wait, you mean, hold up. That people speculating that he looks like a Fed boy and is on camera, like riling people up. That them speculating about him doing those things that ruined his life. Not him doing things that ruined his life, but people talking about it, about what he was doing, ruined his life. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes.
Do I understand that?
Yeah. And he just gets a disorderly conduct charge. That's it. That's all it is.
Disorderly or disruptive conduct on restricted grounds. Well, I mean, the images are pretty. I mean, there's tons of videos. So, yeah, he filed a defamation suit against Fox News, Tucker Carlson, because Tucker was like, it looks kind of sus, bro. Because it does. I'm just saying. Don't sue me for stating the obvious, you litigious. I don't know if I can say that word on air. All right. So, a couple of other things here. Yeah. So he's charged. We were talking about the situation with immigration. And I need to segue into our law and order because we've had, we've been talking about crime. We've been talking about, one of the other, let me pull this up. Forgive me for a minute. I've got a lot of, I got too many things here. I got too many things that I'm working with. The Chicago mayor, you got this in your prep, Brandon Johnson, the Democrat mayor, right? He wants to create city-run grocery stores to promote equitable access to food. Because, see, Walmart and Whole Foods, they close because of crime. You know, Whole Foods, the bougie food store, where it's like $5,000 for a young coconut, which is like the best coconut to make meringue with. He's saying that they need to promote equitable access to food. Well, who's impeding the equitable access to food? Pray tell, Mr. Mayor, who is it that is impeding the equitable access to food? Is it the repeat violent offenders who may rape or mug people if they try to access food? Or is it the food stores that are like, well, no one's coming because they don't want to get raped and mugged, so we got to go? Who is it, Mr. Mayor, that is impeding the access to equitable access to food in that situation? So he says that he has to, they want to target the food deserts. Jeez, sounds like set up for a Sam Kinison joke. He says that the new moves are, quote, to help repair past harms that have contributed to purposeful disinvestment and exclusion and lack of food access in historically underserved communities. So he acts like Whole Foods was sitting around going, you know what? We don't want minorities in Chicago to be able to get food. Let's close the store. I'm not kidding you. That's how they act like this decision came about. We don't want minorities in Chicago being able to purchase food. So let's close the doors. Yes, that's a sound business decision. Because when he talks about repairing past harms, it's a little difficult to repair past harms when you keep perpetuating existing harms. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same repeat offenders that are causing all the crime. That's what, I mean, and as Kane noted, we talked about this with Justin Trudeau yesterday. They don't want to blame their own policies. They want to blame the grocery stores. No, it's not the mayor's fault for not wanting to go after misdemeanors and for wrist slapping these criminals. It's you, rat bastard grocery stores, for being racists. Wait a minute. No one's coming to shop there because they're all getting raped and killed and mugged. Yes, but you're a racist. You should still keep your doors open. What? I mean, he actually said this. He goes, quote, all Chicagoans deserve to live near convenient, affordable, healthy grocery options. You know what would be great? Is if this mayor actually believe that all Chicagoans deserve not to get raped and robbed and mugged and beaten. Yes. And also could go to grocery stores without being raped or mugged or robbed or beaten. It would be great if that was actually a priority for him, but it's not. He's like, forget about the raping and the beating and the robbing and the mugging. The grocery stores, though. Like, they need to be, it's racist for you to leave and not provide access to food. Well, some might argue that it's racist for you to keep allowing Chicagoans to be raped and mugged and beaten and robbed. Because you refuse to enforce the law and you encourage restorative justice that is coddling these criminals who thrive on the indulgence of the policies that your citizens pay with their asses. That's what this is. And instead, it's everyone else's problem. Let's see, we have a rampant crime. What could be causing it? Certainly not our policies. Must be the grocery stores. It's their fault. Damn Whole Foods, I knew they were a plague upon the earth. I knew it. I mean, I can't believe I'm defending them, but my biggest complaint were the hippies. But you never had to worry about anything, you know, with the hippies. They just smelled like patchouli. That was it, right? That was it. You know, and they would have hemp grocery bags that like shed like a jute rug. I mean, that's it. I don't know. He says that they're really wanting to. They think that the state should dive into this and actually like help make this happen. They want state and federal tax dollars for this initiative. Or, I mean, it's crazy. You could enforce laws and get the criminals off the streets. Because that's why everybody's leaving. And then in Washington, D.C., it's so bad. We told you before that people don't even want to walk out in the day. They don't even want to walk outside during the day. It's horrific, the crime. I have to tell you. So over the weekend, we had family weekend at my kid's college. And we went out to eat. There was a table sitting next to us, and they were from New Mexico. Now, what were y'all talking about last week with New Mexico and the governor in Albuquerque? One of the people at the table was saying that the crime in Albuquerque was so bad, they left. They moved out of the town. She was saying that she used to be able to walk her dog, and that, because it sounded like she was an older woman, it sounded like she was an empty nester. And she used to say that she was... she would go out and she used to walk her dog and all this stuff. And now she got so scared because there was so much crime. And she said it was just like, you know, people would, you know, the cops would be called and they would arrest people and they would have to release them. I mean, and then they just stopped enforcing a lot of stuff because they were told not to go after misdemeanors. And she said it got so bad, she sold her house and moved. Interesting, is it not?
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So a Florida man, according to Fox 35 Orlando, hid in a McDonald's trash compactor after he fled a traffic stop, according to deputies. Florida man was found hiding in this trash compactor. Danilo Melendez Jr. was arrested on several charges, including possession of drugs, blah, 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 meth, drug, meth equipment, meth, resisting arrest, meth. They stopped him in the middle of the night on Saturday, and he was riding a bike that didn't have lights or reflectors, and he was towing a homemade wagon. The story gets better and better. And they said he got agitated after they... Is it still pulling someone over if they're on a unlit bicycle with a homemade wagon? They tested the stuff that he had, and of course it had meth all over it. Right before they were going to handcuff him, he ran away. He tried to hide in a nearby trash compactor at McDonald's, or as my grandmother would say, McDonald's. And they totally got him. He did not get away. He didn't get away on that one. A Florida man set fire to a car that belonged to an ex-girlfriend who also happened to be his cousin, say police. Melvin Cintron is his name, is the man's name. He got in trouble. They said that it was, there was a Ring doorbell camera that caught him. He was apparently pouring liquid on the car and it was gas. And then he ignited it. So officers came out. They found a four-door Jaguar heavily damaged by fire upon arrival. The car sustained heavy damage, obviously, blah, blah, blah. Let's get to the good stuff. Police determined that, the victim is a relative of Cintron. He kept saying it was his ex, and actually it was his cousin, and they were dating, and they're weird. So there you go. They just got better and better. Oh my goodness, that story. Also, but wait, there's more. I've been waiting to get to this one. This has to do with sharks. This is in Pensacola. The headline says, "Look at them freaking teeth." Pensacola beachgoers rescue a shark that was washed ashore. And it did have crazy teeth, I have to say. It looks pretty crazy. The people, gosh, your pop-up ads make me hate your product. I just got to say. The people, they saved it. It was a beached mako shark. It began flapping, all of that. One rescuer tugged the shark's tail fin to get the mako back into the water and then was swimming away. But as they said, it was clearly sick or injured. And one of the women in the video, her name is Tina Fey, but not that Tina Fey. And she kept going, look at them teeth. It did have crazy teeth. It's a shark. What do you think? Stay with us.
Now, we need to evolve our institutions and drive creative new partnerships. Let me be clear. Certain principles of our international system are sacrosanct.
Sacky-sacked. They're sanky-sacked. That's what they are. I don't even know what he said. What? What was that? That was Biden. What, okay, so he started off by mumbling, and then he was like, let me be clear. That's not how that works. You, and I think Lorraine speaks this language.
Yeah.
It's, she thinks that he says, now, even as we evolve our institutions and try to create new partnerships, let me be clear, certain principles of our international system are sacrosanct. Can we hear that at just the beginning again? Because that seems like a lot. That's a C.
Now, even as we evolve our institutions and drive creative new partnerships, let me be clear. Certain principles of our international system are sacrosanct.
Okay, he skipped over a lot of words. Certain principles are not sacrosanct. And drive to create new partnerships. Let me be clear. I don't know what that is. I can't understand what he says. It's kind of important because he's the leader of the free world and he's at the UN.
Yeah.
It's kind of important that he be articulate. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash with you. You can listen across the country. You can watch the simulcast on YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV as well. I kind of like the Sacky Sanct, though. That's my favorite. Sanky Sacked. Whatever. That's... I'm going to go with that. It's a verbal typo and it stays. He's just one giant verbal typo. All right. So we've been hitting a lot of stuff. One thing that we haven't touched on since, you know, everybody's in New York for the United Nations and Volodymyr Zelensky is in New York. Okay, he's visiting wounded Ukrainian soldiers at a New York City hospital ahead of the General Assembly. Why are Ukrainian soldiers at Staten Island University Hospital? Did you see that? Why are they there? They're receiving treatment. Some are in wheelchairs, others have prosthetic limbs. He toured the facility. They said 18 Ukrainian soldiers are receiving treatment at the medical center and have been since March. Who is paying for it? They said that the executive director of the hospital says that it's their privilege to help any way they can. The soldiers want to get back to serving their country. The Zelensky gave awards to the hospital staff. I'm really confused with us about this. Who is paying for that? I don't know. Is there room with all the COVID? I mean, who knows? But isn't it? It's kind of weird that they are in a New York hospital, right? 18 of them. They're homed in rehabilitation medicine. And are we bringing them back to the United States? Are we bringing Ukrainian soldiers back to the United States? I'm curious. I think that's a question worth asking. They're receiving care there. But I mean, I don't know if Ukraine is actually paying for it because they have to keep asking for money. So far, that's the question that everybody's been asking. New York Post first reported it. And, I mean, they just were very matter-of-fact about it. I just don't know. Why wouldn't they be in a hospital in Odessa or something? I mean, I just think isn't that kind of if you're going to the hospital for treatment, that's kind of a long haul to come all the way to the United States. Zelensky toured the facility, et cetera, et cetera. Now, PJ Media noted that ABC posted a story for March 30th, which said that a U.S.-based nonprofit was giving some prosthetic limbs to Ukrainian soldiers And it's called Kind Deeds. They helped 11, and they said that they were being treated at a Staten Island University hospital. But that was back in March. And that was 11. It's now September, and there's 18. That's a long time to stay. I just got a lot of questions. If only we had, Kane, this entity.
Right.
Like if it was a job where people could go and ask questions.
Investigate, yeah.
Yeah, investigate it. That's right. And then write about the answers that they got, write about right. their findings, and maybe like publish it.
Right.
For people to read.
Man.
I think we're onto something here.
Yeah.
That sounds like a need that needs to be filled. But, yeah. How do you, if only we had something that did that.
Certainly not getting met right now. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, if only. Just really, I'm just curious about that. But instead, it looks like, I don't know. Between that and then all of the situations with the illegal immigrants that are going into New York and then Eric Adams, apoplectic over it. Asking why in the world, they need more money. They need more money. They got to be able to deal with. They said, in fact, Eric Adams said the soaring cost of the crisis is going to hurt low income New Yorkers. Screw you, low income Texans, though. What do you think that they've had to deal with? He said that New York City agencies may have to slash up to 15% from their budgets. They've already spent $2 billion. They're going to spend $5 billion more. Wow, welcome to what Texas and other border states have been dealing with for forever. I bet you guys wanted to be a sanctuary city, so provide the sanctuary. You can't be a sanctuary city and all, but just name only. That's not how that works. So one of the other things we've been following is this Russell Brand story. His management terminated ties following sexual assault allegations. And there were rape allegations made against him. He's denied it. But he's already been suspended. Like the way that YouTube put it, it doesn't sound like it's temporary, right? Correct me if I'm wrong on this. It doesn't sound like he was just temporarily demonetized. It sounds like he was permanently demonetized. He had a short video that he put on Rumble saying everything was consensual when he was younger. I think everybody kind of knew he was sort of like a skeezy Dudley Moore, like very aggressive. And it's now when he stops being promiscuous. And he apparently now doesn't, drink exorbitantly and do all these drugs. And he's married and settled down and he has kids. Now it seems like, just very interestingly, that now they're coming for him after he started talking about wrongthink. So his main channel is now demonetized. His management company dropped him. There were a couple of other things that happened as well. Yeah, they terminated all ties. Following the accusations, the management agency Tavistock Woods said that they believe they were horribly misled by him. What a ridiculous comment. They said that he categorically and vehemently denied the allegation in 2020, but we now believe we were horribly misled by him. They've terminated all professional ties. Now, four women accused him of rape or sexual assault. A fifth accused him of flashing her. The allegations were published Saturday. He's denied it. One of the women says he groomed her and raped her when she was 16. She said that she went to the literary agent at Tavistock Wood in 2020 with allegations. The Metro Police there in the UK said they were aware of it. They said they haven't they said that they were aware of the media reporting, but they haven't received any reports. And they said so apparently nobody made contact with them to report it. But if you, you come out and you accuse a guy of rape, but you don't actually go through the process of, actually filing a police report. And Kane's right. It is it's a fascistic tactic to cut off your pay and to hurt your career without any substantial anything, that substantiates it. To me, it seems like they went after him because he started talking about the vaccine and some other stuff that they didn't like. And so they decided that, you know, you can't have a redemptive arc for this character. So they decided to go after him. I think it's lame that all of it, it's a bunch of accusations. And there are a bunch of people now that are so eager to take a bite out of him because they think that that's going to give them 15 minutes of fame if they do so. It's very difficult to take it seriously when people rush to the press and before they do anything with law enforcement. I mean, if it's bad enough where you have to accuse this guy and ruin his life publicly, then it's bad enough for you to go to police and file a police report and produce, you know, the evidence and go through the process. There was one student, is a former Yale student. In 2018, he was accused of rape. And he was acquitted. Apparently, the accusation was not truthful. Oh, shock. The 30-year-old, he's a former Yale student. He was acquitted in 2018. He was kicked out of Yale. She falsely accused him. Now he can sue his accuser for defamation over statements that she made. That's what a Connecticut Supreme Court ruled. The 30-year-old now has a $110 million defamation suit pending against Yale. That's been pending since 2019. He's been fighting to bring his accuser into the suit. The Supreme Court of Connecticut granted his request in June. The court ruled that the accuser should not receive qualified immunity from her school testimony. She accused him falsely accused him of raping her at a Halloween party in 2015. I think he absolutely should be able to go after her. I think that her life should be ruined just as she tried to ruin his. She violated him. He's been victimized by this woman who falsely accused him. She violated him in a horrific fashion. And he's been dealing with the fallout of this since 2015. I really do believe that the penalty should be double, if not triply, applied to people who make false accusations. If you're falsely accused, your accuser should be doubly or triply penalized in terms of sentencing, jail time, fines, everything. I think it has to be so terrifyingly punitive so as to prevent other false accusations. Because this stuff spreads like wildfire. It's like the New Salem witch trial. That's what it's like. It's like the New Salem witch trial. Everybody's just going to get in on it and they're all going to be accusing, all going to be pointing fingers. Oh my gosh, here we go. Burn the witch. Here we go. Go after Russell Brand. Burn the witch. That's what this is.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I love this super serious headline. Sore throat and then congestion. Common COVID symptoms follow a pattern now, doctors say. Like the common cold. It's a cold. It's what it is. They say it's gotten milder and it's shifted over time to mostly affect the upper respiratory tract. Today in... But it's a cold. It's cold symptoms. That's what they're describing because that's really ultimately what it is. So U.S. auto workers are threatening to amp up their historic strike if wage offers do not improve. The latest, this is after we talked yesterday about UAW, their chief had warned that this is the historic strike, the top three, that it could get worse if the wage offers in ongoing negotiations are not raised. They said the 21%, the Stellantis had offered its workers what it called a highly competitive wage of increase of 21% over 4 years, but the UAW president said that's definitely a no-go. They're wanting a lot more. All three companies have been offering about 20%. UAW wants 40% over the next four-year contract. And a lot of it is because, EVs are supposed to be expensive to make, apparently. Hundreds of flying taxis to be made in Ohio, home of the Wright brothers. It's right where they pioneered human flight. They're going to manufacture cutting-edge vertical takeoff and landing aircraft. This is electric vehicle vertical takeoff and landing, or EVTOL aircraft. They say that around the world, they're entering main strain. There's a lot of questions still about noise levels, charging demands. Are you going to find something that needs to be charged, Kane?
No.
Me neither. Can we stop with the everything electric? That's like having screens and social media access on everything, like refrigerators and all that stuff. Just stop it. Just stop. We're going too much. It's too much. Here we go. New York City's $1,000 trash can of tomorrow is ready for its debut. It looks so stupid. Futuristic trash cans, $1,000 each. These things have been designed by Group Project, lightweight plastic. I mean, I would have been able to make, I can't believe these things are $1,000. New York City Sanitation tweeted out and said, obsessed, like a millennial. They're $1,000. You can get it at like Container Store for like $40. So stupid. Stick with us, more in store.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
Well, look, I would say, I mean, I think that if you look at what's happened with D.C. Republicans, they worked very closely. You know, look, Donald Trump, he supported Kevin McCarthy very strongly for speaker. I don't think he would have won the speaker vote. Donald Trump was instrumental in him earning that speaker's gavel. And they worked hand in glove, really, throughout his whole presidency. They were on the same team on every major spending bill that came down the pike. And they ended up together adding $7.8 trillion to our national debt. Never in a four-year period has that much been added than what they did together. And so he said that we're different. We are different because in Florida, we run budget surpluses. We've paid down almost 25% of our state's debt just since I've been governor. All the debt, all the way up for all of Florida's history, we've knocked off almost 25% of it. So it's a much different approach to where we're doing it right. We have the number one rated economy in the country. We've cut taxes, we've expanded school choice, and we've delivered in a way that has made the state sustainable.
So that is Florida Governor Ron DeSantis pushing back against Kevin McCarthy, who went out, he said over the weekend, he went at DeSantis and said that we are different. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash, bottom of this third hour. They are different. And it felt like McCarthy, and I've called balls and strikes with him. You guys know I'm not in this to make friends. That felt like a weird mode of attack for McCarthy to make. And I wrote about this. I was trying to think. I don't think it was a piece that I sent out Sunday evening. And I mentioned the McCarthy comment. He said that DeSantis was wrong to support those in Congress who wanted a shutdown. And he said that, he was saying that, he's not the he had said, I served in Congress with DeSantis. I know. I remember when they were in Congress at the same time, because Ron DeSantis was one of the founders of the Tea Party House Freedom Caucus. And you would not have gotten Donald Trump without the Tea Party. And DeSantis was one of the founders of the Tea Party House Freedom Caucus at the exact same time that Kevin McCarthy wrote a book with Paul Ryan and Eric Cantor called Young Guns. They called themselves the Young Guns. And the subhead was A New Generation of Conservative Leaders. That is the book that Kevin McCarthy was writing at the exact same time that DeSantis was founding the Tea Party House Freedom Caucus. And the House Freedom Caucus was pretty much opposed to every single big spending Paul Ryan plan that came out. There was a lot of pushback on a lot of those and created a lot of tension in the House amongst more constitutionally minded limited government conservatives and more moderate Republicans, like the gentleman on the cover of that book. Now, Kevin McCarthy has been working very hard to rewrite his history on this. But Pepperidge Farm remembers. No, we remember this. I remember this book. In fact, I think Eric Cantor pitched it to my radio program wanting to come on. And I was like, you know who I am, right? I helped found the Tea Party 2.0. right? Like we kicked it off in St. Louis, like in the very early days of the early months of 2009. Y'all remember this, right? I'm like, you really want to come on and talk about this? I don't know. So I just, you know, that at the exact, yeah, they definitely are not the same. McCarthy's right. They are not the same. It's just a weird, that was a bad, I think, choice for McCarthy to make, to pick at that. Now, he is going to have a problem on his hands with what's going on in the House. And I think he needs to focus a little bit less on some of, and being a tool for primary infighting. And I think he needs to focus on making sure that the conservatives in the House, that his Republicans hold the line. Because I don't know if you've seen it. The media is really pushing they're already all in on the headlines that, oh my gosh, here it is. It's these House Republicans that are House GOP in open warfare over doomed spending plan. That's Politico. The Hill, House GOP pulls key vote on stopgap bill amongst conservative opposition. Chaos and acrimony as House Republicans pull bill to keep government running. Quote, multiple games afoot. Politico tries to save it with this piece, which, you know, probably came from his team. McCarthy gets tough with the right. They're acting like, oh, he's getting tough. But at the same time, they're making excuses for him. Boxed in by conservatives as shutdown looms, etc. CNN, tensions flare inside House GOP as moderates explore new plan to avoid shutdown. And that is true. The moderates are looking at a continuing resolution. Byron Donalds is one of those who's pushing it, which kind of surprised me a bit. He and Matt Gaetz, who I find to be moderate on some things, have been in opposition over this. Marjorie Taylor Greene opposes the stopgap measure because we're so done. Taxpayers are so done consistently funding billions to Ukraine, billions here, entitlement spending here, not doing anything at the border, not providing any kind of security or relief from border towns or border states, and expecting those taxpayers to foot the bill unconstitutionally, if you want to talk about overriding and commandeering state sovereignty against 10th Amendment, to make them carry out federal decrees and programs. It's completely understandable that there are a lot of constitutionalists that don't want to continue funding that. And that's what, you know, going along to get along is what the CR is. And so there are a considerable number of conservatives that oppose it, and rightly so. And this shouldn't be any different. You wanted the House speakership job. You got the House speakership job. Now you got to make the House speakership job work. And the media definitely wants to make it seem like it is absolute chaos. And it might be. It might be. It's not as chaotic as what Democrats have created at the border, but it might be. Oh, open warfare. And it has everybody facing off. Everybody. I mean, they talk about the centrists against the conservatives and the more moderate Republicans. And, oh, my gosh, all these Republicans in the Conservative Freedom Caucus, they're torching the plan. And this is going to be problematic for him. It's going to be even more problematic because the Senate will blame any kind of refusal to pass it or to even move it to debate. They'll blame it all on McCarthy. The problem is going to be, you know, it's the poison pill that the press puts on order of Democrats into the narrative with this. If Democrats did not politicize it with the entitlement spending, so much of this would not be an issue. It wouldn't be. Now, if McCarthy has to rely on Democrats to get any of this passed to avoid a shutdown, there are a lot of conservatives saying that they will oust him. And I want to caution them. If you're going to oust him, you're going to go with the king, you best not miss. If you're going to go and oust the speaker, you better damn well have a replacement ready to go. I am so tired of this. Even from House members that I like. Even from, you know, lawmakers who, you know, make it, that I support, there is always a lot of big talk from them, but there's never any kind of follow up. Like if you're going to say that he needs to be replaced, then you better have agreement from someone to replace him. Somebody who can get the votes. Somebody who's going to be able to do it. Chip Roy said he doesn't want it. I don't think Thomas Massie wants it. And to be frank, I don't think that some of these more centrist Republicans would vote for either of them. They wouldn't vote for Marjorie Taylor Greene. They're going to have to vote for somebody who I think has the seniority, meaning has the established relationships of working with these people. but probably isn't too far to the left and too far to the right. Probably someone who's moderate. But I don't know if they have anybody. You can't throw stuff like that out because, see, the people are tired of hearing it. We're just tired of hearing that as a threat all the time, over and over again. So I don't know. I mean, they're saying, oh, it's a revolt. They have no plan to keep the government open without risking, you know, the House speakership, etc. McCarthy's trying to resuscitate this plan that Byron Donalds is getting a lot of flack for. And I think Byron Donalds has his own, I think he's got his own reasons for doing this. Oh, you don't talk too much about it because his press person may lose his mind. But I think he's got his own reasons. There's a lot of intrigue, a lot of palace intrigue happening here. But in looking at just some of the stuff, like I said, this latest, this is from Washington. It was New York Post and Washington Examiner. There was a procedural vote on this stopgap that this was on the bill that we were just talking about that they had brokered. They're mulling over some changes to it. So they delayed this procedural vote on the CR so that they could try to get more conservatives online with passing it. But I don't think it's going to happen. They said they're going to the defense appropriations first, and they're going to try to remedy some of it. But I'm going to tell you, you're not going to get any of it passed if you're going to be funding abortion on demand, taxpayer funded. Abortion is birth control on demand. If you're going to be funding trans surgeries, all this stuff, it's not going to happen. Then let the damn thing shut down. Tired of it. You know, if we had a budget, we wouldn't keep doing this over and over again. What did we tell you the last time? What did we say last year? We're going to have another CR. It's going to happen right as the general gets going. Here we are. They said that people want to reach consensus. They have different ideas. They have CR. CR stands for continuing resolution. So it's 31 days, and it includes border security minus E-Verify, some other security provisions, spending cuts. They want to keep defense and veterans affairs spending at fiscal 23 levels. They want to slash some other domestic agency funding by 8%. And the bill that they have hammered out does not include funding for Ukraine. But what they're fighting over is some of the stuff with defense and veterans affairs, because nobody wants to fund taxpayer-funded abortion on demand as birth control. They want to have completely eliminated any kind of opportunity for taxpayer-funded genital mutilation surgery. They want more spending for the border, and they think there should be more spending cuts. I think there should be a hell of a lot more spending cuts. You definitely get a big boost at the border. Why does it have to be minus E-Verify? I mean, there's a lot of questions that are here. So that's something that some of the conservatives, they want the spending. They said they wanted to see other strict border security measures for their support, for in order to get their support for the CR. So, I mean, they said that the provisions in the measure as is now are not enough. They're not wrong. They are not enough. I mean, it's basically just a little bit to say that you've done something. It's just a Band-Aid. That's all it is. So I get it. They don't. What's the point? So, and then they lose that battle. Then they'll be told, oh, well, you got border funding in the last one. Even if it was just like a pittance, that doesn't really accomplish anything. You got border funding in the last one. We're not going to have that debate again. That's what they'll be told. So there's real reason for them to be fighting against this right now. So we'll see. McCarthy wanted the job. Maybe he should focus on this a little bit more and stay out of the inter-party fighting. Because, you know, doesn't sound too much, you're not young guns anymore.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
You know, there's an old saying, like, history is written by the victors. It's like, well, yes, but not if your enemies are still alive and have a lot of time on their hands to edit Wikipedia.
History is written by the people who can harness the most editors.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the loser has just got a lot of time on their hands, and, you know, it's just, what are they going to do? Edit Wikipedia. Literally.
That's what they do. He's not wrong. That's Elon Musk with Benjamin Netanyahu there. He's absolutely right. That's exactly what they do. That's why Wikipedia is garbage. It's not even admissible in a court of law. It's so factually challenged. And you have these people that I think just sit in their basement, you know, these basement trolls, and that's all they do is they edit Wikipedia. And he's right. There are stories. The stories are legend of people tangoing with Wikipedia editors that are glorified hall monitors. Man, they really just, like, they, it's like a, were these people unloved in life? Were they bullied as kids? Because they really wear it like as like a badge of authority. You know, they are Wikipedia editors. They fight over everything. I've said this before, but I will never forget, because there are so many things on my page that are not even accurate. It's ridiculous. And my publisher had to fight to even get the inclusion of my third book on that page. Because they kept saying, no, we don't like this source. We don't believe that she has the third book coming out. We don't like this source. And they made it to where you had to basically have three separate liberal sources. And then they came back and said, no, they can't be owned by the same company. They have to be owned by different people. And I had it was a big publisher. It was ridiculous. It was so crazy. They had to fight with them on everything. Like they had, there was at one point they had my birth month wrong. They had where I went to school wrong. There was a whole bunch of stuff. They at one point had that I was born in DeSoto, Missouri, because apparently when I grew up, there was a girl that had my exact same name who was around my age living in DeSoto. And they literally would not clarify that that was not me. It was a whole different person who played different sports and everything. They literally would not actually like change that. So there for like years, they even had like my birth city wrong. It was like, that's how stupid these people are. It's so stupid. So I just, so he's right. History is written by victors. Yes, he says, but not if your enemies are alive and they have a lot of time on their hands to edit Wikipedia. He is exactly correct on that. That's whenever I see the donate to Wikipedia, I'm like, eat feces. It's not going to happen. Go pound sand, Wikipedia. Garbage. All right. Make sure you sign up for Substack, Chapter and Verse, the newsletter. A lot of stuff that comes out and subscribers get extra stuff. And then find us on YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right. It is our Vice President, Kamala Harris. She's talking for, I guess this is the Fight for Our Freedoms event. And she's talking about how the administration is all about equity. Listen to what she says here.
Ours is an administration that is always focused on equity.
Oh, geez.
Are all people having the same experience? And if not, in particular, what they are entitled to, such as the right to clean water, the right to clean air, then let's address that. So environmental justice is a phrase that we use to talk about that we want to make sure that there is equality and justice for all people.
Good Lord. I don't want the same experience as everybody else.
I mean, in order to have equity, you have to actually implement.
You have to tear others down in order
discrimination.
To discrimination. Yeah.
Thank you guys, too, for your prayers for Rocco. He may be coming home today. I'll keep you updated. I'll have some stuff up on Facebook as well. So we thank you for your continued prayers for him. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.